Hallelujah. Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Praise God. This is where our strength and our help is. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Dowdy to go ahead and come and take his liberty. So good to have them. And you're used to Oakie preaching, so just make him feel at home. Let's welcome him this morning, could we?
Amen. Appreciate that. Praise the Lord. Appreciate the singing. That reminded me of a story I heard years ago. You may have heard this. A little boy got saved at a tent revival. The evangelist told him that he's covered by the blood and the devil could never touch him. So one day, a little boy was walking through the neighborhood whistling. He was real happy. An elderly man stopped him and said, "What are you whistling about, son? What are you so happy for?" He said, "I got saved last night." He said, "What do you mean you got saved last night?" He said, "I went to a tent revival and I got saved." The elderly man said, "Well, boy, what you going to do if the devil gets a hold of you?" He said, "I got a bloodline around me. I'm covered by the blood. The devil can't touch me." The elderly man said to that young boy, "What if the devil crosses that bloodline?" Little boy thought for a minute, scratched his head, smiled real big, said, "He'd be one saved devil." So I appreciate songs about the blood, don't you? Don't understand the churches across the United States that are spending millions of dollars to revamp their songbooks, taking everything out that refers to the blood. Don't want to be labeled a slaughterhouse religion. I, for one, I'm thankful for the blood. Amen. I'm sorry that he had to do what he did, but I'm thankful that he did what he did. Amen. Because if he hadn't, you and I wouldn't be here today. Amen. Appreciate the Lord. Thank you very much for your giving this morning to us. I wanted to thank you for three things. That was one of them. The second was Wednesday night. We got here into Ohio from Oklahoma. It's a long drive. Got a feeling it's going to get shorter. I feel like we'll probably be making the trip occasionally. But people in Ohio, they drive different than folks in Oklahoma. There's a whole lot more of them, a whole lot more highways, and people, they don't care if you're in the lane you're supposed to be in or not. If they want it, they're taking it. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. And so we were frustrated getting here, but when we got here, I mean, it was like a total different world. But when we came into this church Wednesday night, it's like we were right at home. So I want to thank you for making us feel at home. Even though my son swiped one of yours, you made us feel at home regardless of that. And also I wanted to thank everyone that made their day so special. You all just pitched in. You did so much work in the fellowship hall out there. I asked Brother Hurst last night, we're getting ready to leave. I said, "Is the platform all put back?" He said, "Yeah, they took care of that already." I appreciate so much the hard work that everyone did to make that day for my son and my new daughter-in-law so special. I appreciate, words would never tell how thankful and grateful I am for you. Brother Hurst said you're used to Okie preaching. I'm thankful there are a few Okies here. Brother Zach back there, I used to watch him play football and know his family really well. And Brother Hurst, he's from Oklahoma. And I came to find out, I think there's only two states in the Union start with O. It's Ohio and Oklahoma. And any Okies that are here just came here because it's easier to spell. Amen. Once they get a good education, they generally go back to Oklahoma. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just teasing. Praise the Lord. I don't know how y'all do it here, but in Oklahoma, I usually let folks out by about noon. So I promise to let you out at noon, Oklahoma time. Praise the Lord. Well, I understand that Brian Dowdy's preaching tonight. Is that correct? Is that what the bulletin said, Brian Dowdy? I didn't see the bulletin. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22. If you'd like, you can stand with me as we honor the reading of God's word. I'll pray first. Father, we're thankful today to be here for your mercy, your grace, Lord, your loving kindness towards us. Thankful for those that have gathered here this morning in your house to worship. God, I pray divine anointing take place in the remaining part of this service, Lord, and the reading of your word and the preaching thereof. Help me this morning, God. Help this congregation hear and receive from your throne. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Remain standing again. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. He became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I'd like to say, before I go any further, also I appreciate Brother Hurst allowing me the opportunity to preach in this pulpit on a Sunday morning. I pastor a church in Norman, Oklahoma, and I generally like to preach on Sunday mornings. If I have an evangelist come, it's on a Sunday night generally or a Wednesday evening. So I don't know if it's hard for him to give it up on Sunday mornings, but it is for me. So if he's the same way I am, I appreciate the opportunity to be here to do that. Amen. I want to preach this morning a message. I had something else I wanted to preach, and the Lord laid this on my heart instead. I want us to develop a soldier mentality. I believe we ought to be like soldiers, okay? And so many Christians are not. And that troubles me, and I believe it troubles the Lord. The Bible says the Lord sought for man and could not find one. Sometimes there's folks that are unwilling to be what the Lord wants them to be. So this morning I didn't want to dress in military fatigue. I was going to ask Brother Micah to do that, but I didn't want to do that. Congratulations, by the way, brother, on the announcement of that birth. We were just found out last week my daughter's going to have a baby too, so I'll be a grandpappy for the first time. But I thought if I could dress in military garb, I'd be more likely to be accepted as a recruiter. I'm here this morning to recruit some soldiers into God's army. And all of us want to be soldiers, but seldom do we make the grade, so to speak. And I've never been to boot camp. And don't want to go to boot camp, by the way. But my dad was raised, or not raised, but my dad was in the Marines. And so I'll make reference in a little while to boot camp, and I'll use the Marine boot camp because that's what I'm familiar with. So if you're here and you were in one of the other branches of the military, I appreciate your service. But according to my dad, the Marines were the best. And, that's just what he told me. And I don't know any different than to what he said, but I'll be referring to boot camp in a little while, and I believe that spiritually speaking, you and I, to be the soldiers the Lord wants us to be, we ought to go to boot camp. Amen? And nobody likes boot camp. And all the Marines that have ever been to Marine boot camp, either in Parris Island, South Carolina, or San Diego, California, Camp Pendleton, all the Marines, to a Marine, have said it was the toughest experience in their lives going to Marine boot camp. So I'll share with you a few things that took place there, but I want you to understand these folks. David was kind of running from Saul. Not that he was afraid of him, but he just wanted to get away from Saul. Was trying to kill him. So he found himself in the cave, and when his family and friends found out about it, they showed up, about 400 of them. They were in debt, in distress, and discontented. Anybody here ever been in debt? Been in distress, kind of some trouble, discontented. There's a lot of people discontented. I think in America we've got it mixed up. We set one day aside a year to have Thanksgiving and 364 days to complain. I think we ought to have one complaining day and be thankful for 364. Amen? I don't like being discontented. See, what the enemy's done, he's always caused us to focus on what we don't have instead of what we do have. Started in the garden. He told Adam and Eve, that's a tree you ought to be eating from. They could have any tree they wanted, but he caused them to focus on the one they couldn't have. That's why there's so much trouble in marriages. You've got the wife God gave you, but the enemy has you to focus on the wife you don't have. See, the car you don't have, the house you don't have, the clothes you don't have. And so we become discontented. Those that know me in Oklahoma, I tell them all the time, I believe this with all my heart, and I challenge anybody to prove me wrong. I believe that I am the happiest man on the planet. Has nothing to do with the fact that I've got the greatest wife in the world. Has nothing to do with the fact that I've got the greatest children in the world. And now I've got the greatest son-in-law and daughter-in-law in the world. Has nothing to do with that. What has to do with the blood of Christ that washed me clean. He came in to live in my heart and changed me. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I ought to be. But thank God by His grace, I'm not what I used to be. He changed me. And I can say gladly and without rebuke, nobody can convince me of any different. I am the happiest man on the planet. I really am. I've had people tell me, well, that Brother Dowdy, he's the most positive guy I know. All I know is my wife, for we've been married almost 33 years, and whenever the bills are piling up, she'll say, what are we going to do? I'll say, I don't know. I guess we'll trust God like we always have. He's never failed us yet. I don't reckon He will. So I'm just going to keep trusting Him. And our Sunday school lesson this morning, Brother Bill was teaching. And he's talking about worrying about things that are never going to come to pass. My wife, she likes to worry. I think it might be a female thing. I'm not sure. But I just always tell her, honey, we'll just trust God like we always have. And you can ask her, God has always came through. We pastor a small church in Norman. Sometimes the finances aren't there. She keeps the church books. What are we going to do? And I guess we'll just trust God like we always have. One day we got a check in the mail for $2,000 from somebody who didn't even go to our church. They said, your kids came to our house knocking on our door the other day, handed out a gospel tract, invited us to church. We've been wanting to send money to a church, and that address was on the back of that flyer, so we just sent it to your church. God knows what He's doing, and He always does things well, doesn't He? In debt, in distress, discontented. That's the type of individuals David had. He became a captain over them and made an army. Made an army. You and I were like that. Jesus is like the David in this story. He's going to become a captain over us and help us to be the soldiers He wants us to be. So as your recruiter this morning, I'm going to share a few things with you about boot camp. But before I do, turn with me to Psalm chapter 142. Psalm 142. This David, when he was in the cave, was praying. This is his prayer. Psalm 142, beginning verse number 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him, I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. That's what he prayed when he was in there. So when David was hiding from Saul in the cave, his family heard about it. Some family and friends showed up in debt, in distress, discontented. And God told David, this is your help. You become a captain over them. You train these men to be soldiers. And God ministered to David's need, answered his prayer, helped him out. And just the same way today, God, I believe, still looking for soldiers. And He'll take those that are in debt, discontented, and in distress. So we're going to start boot camp. But before we do, I want to read to you something. And you may have heard this before. Somebody gave this to me about 20 years ago, written by a 93-year-old woman 20 years ago. I don't know if she's still living or not. She might be. She may not be. But this was a 93-year-old lady that wrote this. It's called Here I Stand. If you've heard it, you'd probably like to hear it again. If you haven't, hopefully you'll enjoy this. This is what this 93-year-old woman wrote. I am a soldier. I am a soldier in the army of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word of God are my weapons of warfare. I've been taught by the Holy Ghost, trained by experience, tried by adversity, tested by fire. I'm a volunteer in this army. I'm enlisted for eternity. I will either retire in this army at the rapture or die in this army, but I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or be pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If God needs me, I am there. If He needs me in Sunday school to teach the children, work with the youth, help adults, or just sit and learn, He can use me because I am there. I am a soldier. I am not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I am a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, ride me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. If He needs me in church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival, or special service, I am there. I am there to preach, teach, sing, pray, play, work, or worship. God can use me because I am there. I am a soldier. I'm not a wimp. I am in place, saluting my King, obeying His orders, praising His name, building His kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into this army, I had nothing. And when I leave this world, I'll still have nothing. That makes me break even. I will win. My God will supply all my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I'm a soldier. Amen. Even death cannot destroy me. For when my commander calls me from the battlefield, He will promote me to a captain and bring me back to rule this world with Him. I'm a soldier in the army. I'm marching, claiming victory. I will not give up, will not turn around. I'm a soldier, marching heaven bound. This 90-year-old woman said, "Here I stand. Will you stand with me?" A little bit about boot camp. The Marines say that boot camp will turn men into Marines. Their very first haircut is the rite of passage from being a civilian to being a recruit. And I've never been there, but when you're there and you sit in that barber's chair, they don't say, "How would you like that cut, sir?" It's not like Burger King. You don't get it your way. My dad, whenever he'd take off running, he would always like skip a step before he'd run. I said, "Dad, when you run, you always take a skip. Why do you do that?" He said, "When I was in the Marines, I always started off my left foot when I run, but they wanted me to start off on my right foot. That's what I had to do to adjust to do it their way." So that very first thing you do is going from a civilian to a recruit is they sit you down and they shave your head. It's their way, not yours. Would you rather have it God's way than yours? I want to develop a soldier mentality today. It's not always we're going to get it our way. There's going to be some things we're going to have to do God's way, whether we like it or not, whether we believe it or not. If it's written down in this code of conduct, then that's the way we need to do it. Developing a soldier mentality. Recruits are required to learn and memorize a startling amount of information. They have to memorize 11 general orders for a sentry, the Marine Rifle Creed, the Marine Hymn, the United States Marine Corps core values, military rifle characteristics, and they have to memorize a code of conduct. I've talked to Christians that say, "I just don't like memorizing scripture. It's too hard." Where's the soldier mentality in that? I don't like to memorize scripture. It's too hard. I can't memorize. Everybody here has the ability to memorize things. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. I memorized that when I was in kindergarten. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I memorized that when I was in the first grade. January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. I memorized that probably when I don't know how old I was. I've memorized it. I've got it down pat. I used it over and over and over again. You get the scripture and you begin to memorize and use it over and over again. If the Marines have to memorize certain things, I believe Christians, Joshua told us in Joshua 1, meditate therein, observe to do all that's written therein. Then thou shalt have good success. Then your way would be made prosperous. Brother Hurst preached in my church a while back, and he read from some chapter in the book of John. Well, he didn't read from it. He quoted it by memory. I sat there in my pew thinking, he hasn't missed a single word, and he hadn't even looked at the Bible. It was incredible. We all need to do that. Memorize the scripture. I heard years ago when I was a boy, there's going to be one day the communists are going to come in. They're going to take our Bibles away from us. You better have something memorized. Amen. I don't know if that'll ever happen. I believe the rapture will take place before we get done today. Amen. I pray it does. Hallelujah. I'm ready for the Lord to come back. Amen. God's coming back one day soon, and we need to be ready. We need to memorize some things. Memorize some scripture. Get some things down pat. Amen. That's what the Marines do. That's what Christians should do. Memorize some things. Amen. Now, physically speaking, thank you, brother. Physically speaking, if you don't meet the requirements in boot camp, before they kick you out of the Marines, they send you to a special training area, and they'll try to get you in shape so you can meet the boot camp requirements. But so if you don't meet the first requirements, they send you to the other place, here's what you have to do. This doesn't sound like much, but some of you men probably realize you have to do 3 pull-ups. 3. And some of you, I can do 3. I guarantee you probably most of us couldn't do 1. Where you get the bar and you put your arms and you pull yourself all over to your chin. Unless you're standing on a chair and you jump first, you're not going to make it. And so they'll have to go to a special training area, and they give them a certain amount of time to do that. They've got to do 40 sit-ups in 2 minutes. Think about that. And then you have to run 3 miles in 28 minutes. If you can't get that, they boot you out. So there's some stringent requirements in Marine boot camp to take you from being a civilian to a Marine. And just because we say, Lord, save me, forgive me, that doesn't mean that we're automatically soldiers. Now, you're saved, but I'm talking about recruiting soldiers today. Okay, so I want you to think about this just a moment. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now the French Foreign Legion, they have a motto. I like their motto, and I would to God the Christians could develop their motto. The French Foreign Legion motto says, if I stumble, pick me up. If I falter, push me on. If I retreat, shoot me. They'd rather die on the battlefield than be labeled a coward the rest of their lives. Saying to God, if you're going to be the soldier the Lord wants you to be, you got to develop that mentality. If I stumble, pick me up. If I falter, push me on. If I backslide, slap me around and get my attention. Help me to serve the Lord. Help me to serve the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. When I was a young man, and I went to college in Miami, Oklahoma, at a junior college there, played baseball. And I went to a little Assembly of God church there, and that's when I became a Christian. My dad used to make me go to church when I was living at home. But when I got to college, I said, I'll go if and when I want to. Nobody can make me now. And so I didn't go for about 6 months. And then I got with a youth group, started going to Assembly of God church there. And the Lord started dealing with me to preach. And I asked my Sunday school teacher, I said, what should I read? And he said, read 1 and 2 Timothy as often as you can. That's Paul's letter to a young minister. You need to learn all you can. And one of the first things I remembered is you've got to endure hardness to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Hard times are going to come. The Bible teaches us, yea, and all that will live God in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're not suffering some type of persecution, you're probably not living godly in Christ Jesus. My family's near about shunned me. None of them serve the Lord. They play church whenever they get in trouble. Then when they're out of trouble, they stop playing church. And the only time they call me is when they need prayer. I cramp their lifestyle. When I go to their house, they put their beer behind the chair. They don't want me to see them drink. When they have family gatherings, so kinfolk come from out of town, they invite me over there, but they politely let me know at a certain time we're going to get the alcohol out and you'll need to leave, because they don't want me to hinder them from partying and drinking like they want. We're raised in the same house, raised in the same Sunday school, grew up in the same church, but when we all got older, we all went our separate ways, and I followed the Lord and they didn't. And so I know what a little bit of suffering persecution is, but I don't have a problem with that, because I was taught in my code of conduct to expect it. So every child of God that's going to be a soldier for the Lord needs to expect hardness. See, a lot of times in our churches, we want to enjoy things. It didn't say, thou therefore enjoy life. It said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So I just want to share a few things with you this morning. There's going to be some hard times, and we need to expect it. Don't run from it. And learn to deal with it. When I was a little boy, like I said, my dad was a Marine, and he made me watch this movie called The D.I. It's a drill instructor. And I don't remember hardly anything about the movie except one instance when a recruit, they were on a training exercise, and this recruit was down in a foxhole, and they were told to be quiet as to not to alert the enemy where they were. And this mosquito started buzzing around this guy's face. And it landed on his arm. And that recruit was there looking at that mosquito suck blood out of his vein. And he was taught to be quiet, not move, but he couldn't stand the thought of that mosquito there, so he slapped it and made a noise. And the drill instructor came running and got in his face and started chewing him out, started screaming at him, made him perform a burial service for that mosquito, and told him not to ever do it again and alert the enemy. He had to be disciplined. And the soldier of the Lord has to be disciplined. That's why we fast. That's why we pray. That's why we read our Bibles. In military boot camp, even on your free time, it's not free time. Because on your free time, you have to memorize the things they want you to memorize. So they really don't have their own life. And as a soldier for the Lord, if you're really going to be the soldier he wants you to be, you won't have your own life. You're his. You're bought with a price. I read a book, I was talking to Brother Hurst about it yesterday, called The Arena of Faith. A German author wrote this. He talked about the battle that a Christian goes through. There's a song, you may have heard it, it's an older song, I don't know all the words to it, but the chorus says something like this: it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. So run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. It's a battlefield. We need to know that. Here's what the author wrote in that book, Arena of Faith. Each hearer of the gospel should be made aware that faith in Christ implied entrance into a conflict. Only he who proves faithful in the practical test of daily life can stand fast in the great tests and trials of special situations. Faithfulness and devotion are prerequisites for all divine gifts and blessings. Only serious training in practical holiness and self-denial and true discipleship can strengthen spiritual muscle. A striving after peace brings with it a right attitude towards our fellow man. Striving after holiness, a right attitude towards God. But neither peace nor sanctification are to be won without effort and diligence. Therefore, press on. Strive to be the soldier that God wants you to be. So it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. What about getting entangled with the things of this life? Share with you a story about the geese. You know, they fly in the V formation. They go north in the summer and south in the winter, and I love birds. And there's a flock of geese by our hotel, and they landed in the water right by our hotel this morning. I love to watch geese, but I heard this story about one goose one year as they were flying north for the summer. Saw this cornfield, probably somewhere in Ohio. Saw a lot of those while I was here. And this goose flies now, leaves the formation. Now I'm going to go get some corn. I'll catch up with them on their way back south. So he ate that corn and ate that corn and ate that corn. They're heading back south, and that goose thinks, I ought to go back with them, but really this corn is good. I think I'll wait one more season. And so I'll catch back with them when they go back north again. So he's eating that corn and eating that corn and eating that corn. Here they come a few months later going back north. And he thought, you know what? This corn is really good, and there's still some left. I believe I'll catch up when they go back south. So finally, time went on, and finally he said, you know what? It's time I get back with my flock. So when they heard the honking of the geese, he said, here it is. And he started flapping them wings, trying to get up off the ground. He done ate so much corn, he couldn't lift up. He was grounded. He was stuck. And a lot of Christians do that. They think, you know what, I'll dabble in this world just a little bit. I'll entangle myself just a little bit. And when it gets time to get right with God again, I will. It'll be okay. I can do that. But when it comes really time when they want to make that effort, they're so bound up and tangled in with sin, they can't make a move. They're stuck. They've entangled themselves with the affairs of this life. A good soldier won't do that. Good soldier doesn't have the opportunity to do that. If you do the things we need to do, we can't do the things we shouldn't do. Amen. And the last thing in that was, he said, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Your desire and my desire should be nothing but to please the Lord. Wouldn't that be awesome if that was our waking thought? And every waking moment, that's all we thought about was pleasing God. I just want to please the Lord. I just want, sometimes my children, when they were growing up, they'd ask me, Daddy, can I do this? Daddy, can I do this? I could have just said no. Been the easy thing to do. But then I'd have got a little conflict with them. I would just say to them, well, you just do whatever you think pleases the Lord, sweetie. Or I'd look at Caleb, son, whatever you think pleases God, just, you know. Oh, Dad, why'd you have to put it like that? Save me a lot. It wasn't me telling them no, it was God telling them no. They listen to him better than they listen to me. Amen. We ought to please the Lord. I had a sister, in fact, my own sister, blood sister. She did something that was unbiblical once. And she came to me and she said, hey, what do you think about this? And I just said, hey, you probably don't want to know what I think about that. Trying to avoid a conflict. What she did was none of my business. She didn't go to my church. She didn't care about my opinion, really. She was just asking. So I'd pat her on the back and tell her it's okay. And I said, you really don't want to know what I think. Yeah, I do. I want to know what you think. No, you don't. Yeah, I do. And her husband was standing right there. I said, no, you really don't. And she said, well, tell me. I said, no, I don't want to talk about it. I really don't. I don't want to get in an argument with you. She said, well, you know what? I think I'm close enough to God that if it was wrong, he would have told me. And I just asked her, I said, when's the last time you read your Bible? She said, I don't know. I said, yesterday? No. Last week? No. She said, honestly, I can't tell you when the last time I read my Bible is. I said, well, what you're asking me is in the Bible, and if you'd have read that, you'd know you probably should have done that. And she looked at her husband, who was a Bible scholar, kind of, thought he was, and she said, is that in the Bible? He put his head down and said, yeah. Then he looked at me in her defense and he said this, I feel like if it makes her happy and if that's what she wants to do, then it's okay. I learned a long time ago, people are going to do what they want to do. But if you want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you'll seek to please him and not anybody else. It brings with it a result. I won't tell you the result that it brings. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm closing with this. This is the result that enduring hardness and pleasing him, avoiding entanglement with the world, this is the result. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. Before I go any further, I want you to notice he did not say, I have lived a good life. He didn't say that. He didn't say, I have no regrets, I've lived a good life. What he said was, I have fought a good fight. He had been to spiritual boot camp. he allowed the Lord to make some changes in him. At one time in his life, he was in distress, discontented, and in debt. And the Lord came and met him on the road to Damascus and changed him forevermore. Made a difference in that man's life. And so to speak, made a difference in our lives because we've read his teachings that the Lord anointed him to write. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. You'll have to fight a good fight to keep the faith and to finish the course. And you won't be able to fight a good fight unless you've been to boot camp. Unless you learn some spiritual disciplines. You know, I had a youth camp once. I started in Oklahoma because we were going to Texas to youth camp, and some of our parents wouldn't let their kids go to Texas, and so those kids couldn't go to youth camp. Their parents didn't want them going all the way to Texas from Oklahoma. So I started my own youth camp and called it Gideon's Camp. Gideon's 300 soldiers that stayed with him had a mentality to serve the Lord and to protect Gideon and to be a soldier like they should be. And so I wanted to train children to be faithful to their local church, to be faithful to church support, to be faithful to Bible reading. What we did at camp, well, we had some playtime, but 1 hour a day at camp, they had to read their Bibles. The boys were in one area with a couple of directors. The girls were in another area with a couple of directors. And had their Bibles open. And for 1 hour, we made sure they read their Bible. Now, they may have just been staring at a blank page. Or not a blank page. They must have been staring with a blank stare. But they were there with their Bible open. They had opportunity to learn to read their Bible. And I told them when camp was over, and when you go home, keep that same discipline. Spend an hour a day reading God's Word. Get in that Word. It'll change your life. But I wanted to train them that. Camp went really good for 3 years. But the fourth year, I couldn't get any volunteers to come help. People from my own church didn't want to. I have to use vacation time to be a counselor. It's too hard. Those kids, they're rowdy. I don't want to do that. So we had to give that camp up, and I couldn't get any good soldiers to help us out. Broke my heart. We found Camp Penile in Missouri and got affiliated with OBI, and one thing led to another, and we appreciate the Lord's timing and all that. But we're going to have to fight a good fight, or we'll never keep the faith. Got to develop a soldier mentality. There's going to be some hard times, church, but you can't run. You've got to stay and fight. Shammah, you probably know the story about the lentil patch. Every time the Israelites would go to gather their crops, the Philistines would meet them there and fight them off. And one day Shammah said, I've left this pea patch for the last time. I'm going to stand in the midst of the ground and defend what's mine. And God wrought a special victory by the hand of Shammah because he refused to run. So many Christians, at the first inset of trouble, they flee. God's looking for somebody that'll stand their ground, hold on strong. Somebody said like this once, he who loses wealth loses much. He who loses friends loses more. But he who loses courage loses all. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If I get a few musicians to come, I don't know how you normally do things around here, but I'm a recruiter this morning. And we're looking for soldiers. Paul went on to say, henceforth, because I fought a good fight, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. He's coming back someday. He's looking for some good soldiers. So my request this morning to you, maybe you're here this morning and you've not yet enlisted in this army. You've thought about it. You've even talked about it. But you have not yet enlisted. As your recruiting officer, I want to tell you, some of the disciplines are rough. Some times are tough. But the benefits of serving the Lord and a soldier in his army are more than anything you've ever experienced in your life. So if you're here this morning, you've not yet enlisted and you'd like to, I just want you to get up from your seat. Come around this front, kneel and pray. Or maybe you're a soldier that's been wounded in the army. you're hurt, feel like you've been wronged, and you need the Lord to help you this morning. I want you also to come to this front and kneel and pray. Say, Lord, I've been a soldier for you for years, but I feel wounded right now. Unable to stand on the battlefield and stand my ground. And Lord, I need the strength of your power upon my life to help me be the soldier you want me to be. Maybe you're here and you're a soldier and you fought the battle. And you just want the Lord to give you a little bit more. A little more strength. A little more capabilities. You just want Him to pour a little bit more into your life so you can be a better soldier than what you are right now. So if you're a soldier in the Lord's army and you want to be a stronger, tougher soldier than you are right now, won't you stand with me? I want to pray. Father in heaven, I know you're looking for soldiers. There's a world out there that needs the gospel spread to them. So many soldiers are timid in battle. They need encouragement of the fire of the Holy Ghost, Lord. God, there's a world out there that's lost and undone without Christ, and they're looking to soldiers of the faith to point them the way. And so many times we've let them down and let you down. God, as soldiers of the cross, we pray right now, Lord, you would empower us to be the soldiers you'd have us to be, God. That the weapons of our warfare would be put to use, Father. That we would be a soldier that you could enable, Lord, to fight a good fight, to finish the course, and to keep the faith. And to bring others into the faith, Lord, as soldiers. That we all could be recruiting officers into your army, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, there may be soldiers here this morning that have been wounded in war. I pray, God, right now you'd lay your hand upon them. And bind up the wounds, Father, that still hurt. Remove and rebuke the scars that trouble and hinder. God, strengthen and empower us, everyone, to be the soldiers that you want us to be, Father. That we could be like that 93-year-old woman, Father, that said, here I stand. Help us, God, to always stand. Equip us, Lord, to be the soldiers you'd have us be. God, I pray, touch this church, that they continue to be the church you'd have them be. We love you, we thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you'd like to fight the good fight, continue to do so. Continue to run this race. Please the Lord. Won't you take a moment and come? Let's fill these altars and just reaffirm between you and the Lord. Lord, I enjoy being in your army. I'm privileged. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to serve you, Lord. Maybe you are going through some tough times. You can stand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Let's seek Him for a moment. Amen. Amen. Let Him help us this morning. Let Him strengthen us this morning. Let Him encourage, empower. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I just want to please the Lord. Be in His will in every way. To be lost in His presence, found in His likeness. Wanna hear Him say, well done, someday.